genius.
The fully realized vision of an authentic American genius.
We need your brain.
Don't you have a brain in your head?
Oh, then I will have to adjust your brain a bit.
Every day, Billy the Brain talks with the best guests in America.
Cool.
About business.
The boss that works for you.
Entertainment. Sports.
Turn now to sports.
And the local community.
Radio keeps its eye on local events.
It's time for brainstorming.
My brain is like mush.
With Billy the Brain.
Sounds like fun. Let's go.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Hi, this is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We're live every day, Monday through Friday at 10 o'clock here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura and Santa Barbara counties. You can also hear us streaming over the internet at brainstormingonline.com. My goal is to bring you interviews with thought leaders in business, entertainment, sports, and the local community. Together, we'll listen to what these people say and relate it to how we live and work right here in Ventura. Brainstorming with Billy the Brain is smart radio with intelligent questions aimed at sharp guests. We'll talk. It's talk radio done right for the 21st century. If you want to join in the conversation, you can always call us at 639-0008. And if you're outside of the area code, it's area code 805-639-0008. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is new information and new perspectives. Each of my guests will expand our perspective with new information on his particular subject. My first guest provides insight into a culprit in America's most seminal event of the past 40 years. It's the 40th anniversary of the Watergate break-in, and my guest will give us some perspective on Frank Sturgis, one of the convicted criminals who broke in. We'll discuss his fascinating and controversial life from his book, Warrior. My second guest is a former Capitol Hill staffer who has a unique perspective on the inner workings in Washington, D.C. We'll uncover his perspective on the Anthony Weiner resignation, as well as talk about what really happens behind closed doors in Washington. My third guest is an inspirational author, creativity coach, and dreamer. He'll give us new information to change our perspective away from material things to see a new reality. We'll discuss his latest book, The Greatest Show in Town. And if you want to join the conversation or ask a question of my guests, you can always call us at 639-0008. My first guest, Jim Hunt, is a trial attorney and nephew of the late Frank Sturgis. During his 35-year legal career, he's handled many complex civil cases and major felonies. For the past 25 years, he's been an adjunct professor teaching law and psychiatry at the University of Cincinnati College of Law. He and his wife have three grown children, and they live in Pierce Township, Ohio. Welcome to the show. How are you today, Jim?
Billy, thank you. I'm doing fine. Good morning to you.
Good morning to you, and thanks for joining us. I appreciate it. Always love to talk to you. I actually heard you interviewed on another radio show and said, I've got to have you on my show. So you're a great storyteller, so thank you for that. But let's dive right into it, shall we, if we can, Jim? To most people who remember Watergate, it's a safe statement to say that they'll remember the event, but it's also safe to say they don't remember anybody who actually broke into the Watergate. Now, your uncle, Frank Sturgis, was one of the burglars who actually broke in, was caught, tried, convicted, and did some jail time. So give us a brief biography of your uncle based on the research you did and from your personal experience, because he was more than just the Watergate burglar. He actually had a rich and fascinating life, didn't he?
He really did. I mean, the cliches that come to mind, he was a singular person, they broke the mold, all those things are true. Frank, in World War II, he, at age 17, joined the Marine Corps and became selected to be one of the Raider Marines, which were the elite. I mean, you hear about the Navy SEALs today. These guys were the Navy SEALs back in World War II. Fought throughout the South Pacific. He was wounded twice. He was decorated. Got out of the Marine Corps, then he joined the Navy, where he learned to fly airplanes, and then he joined the Army, and he was so he was in all branches of the service. He was in Berlin during what was called the Airlift in 1948, which was the first major confrontation between the Russians and the United States that started off the Cold War. He then came back to when he was in Berlin, he by happenstance rescued a beautiful young woman who was a Hungarian actress, but whose real job was to be a spy for Haganah, and Haganah was the Israeli underground. So when Frank got out of the army, he stayed in Europe, and for about 2 years he was a spy for Israel. He learned how to be a spy. When he came back to the United States through his military training and so forth, and the work that he did for Haganah, he was an expert in guerrilla warfare, arms and ammunition, and spine. So then that brings us to 1957. In 1957, Frank was in Miami, Florida, visiting an aunt and an uncle. The uncle had married, the aunt was a Cuban woman who had been displaced from Cuba by Batista when Batista took over the country in 1952. And it was through them that he met a beardless revolutionary by the name of Fidel Castro at the Flagler Theater in 1957. And to make a long story short, Fidel took a liking to Frank. Frank was told me he was mesmerized by Fidel from the start and began running guns and ammunition into Cuba for Fidel. He was actually caught once by Batista and put in the El Moro prison in Havana, where he was tortured. He, in fact, I remember when I lived with Frank, you could still see the scars on his back from the bullets they used on him. Mm. But in any event, Fidel trusted him. Frank was a personal friend. Fidel made him a captain in the rebel army. When the revolution was finally successful in 1959 and Fidel took over Havana, he put Frank in charge of all of the gambling that was going on in Cuba, particularly in Havana. Back in those days, Havana was like Las Vegas. There were casinos everywhere. And this then brought Frank into contact with a lot of the mob and people like that. But Frank was an anti-communist, Billy. I get back to his experiences in Berlin and the Cold War and so forth. And when the revolution was going in that direction of communism, Frank then began to actively spy for the CIA. During his lifetime, Frank was never directly employed by the CIA. He didn't get a W-2 from them, but he did plenty of what I would call independent contracting work for the CIA. And in June of 1959, Frank left Havana at the controls of a B-25, one of the Cuban airplanes, and about $750,000 in cash that he had been able to accumulate as the gambling czar, flew to Miami and set up a base of operations in Miami that he spent the rest of his life until he died in 1993 in a personal war against Fidel Castro. Frank and other people, and Cubans in particular, were concerned because Fidel had promised popular democracy. And unfortunately, that didn't happen. And that's the thing that really irritated Frank. And so he, as I say, spent the rest of his life in this war against Castro. So how does that get us to Watergate? Well, it was through his CIA contacts. A guy named Bernard Barker, Macho Barker, who I knew and used to go to his house and so forth when I lived with Frank and my aunt in Miami during my first year of college. He was the one that recruited Frank for Watergate. The other person was E. Howard Hunt. Now, Hunt is not related to me, but E. Howard Hunt and Macho Barker were both involved in the ill-fated Bay of Pigs invasion. If your listeners would remember, the Bay of Pigs was the attempt by the United States to put an invasion force into Cuba and basically overthrow Castro. Unfortunately, President Kennedy pulled the plug on the air support that they were supposed to get, and the thing turned into a huge disaster. The reason I mention that is from that point on, my uncle had no love whatsoever for John Kennedy or his brother. And that kind of comes into play because later on he was also involved as possibly being involved in the assassination of JFK.
That's right, yeah.
He was recruited to become part of the Watergate, what they call them the plumbers, the White House plumbers. President Nixon was concerned because a guy named Daniel Ellsberg leaked what were called the Pentagon Papers. And this was a 1,600-page study that had been ordered by the State Department of our involvement in Vietnam. And it was very critical of the United States government. Ellsberg leaked it to the New York Times, and there were other things that were being leaked out. And so Nixon hired E. Howard Hunt, and Hunt hired Macho Barker, and who in turn then brought my uncle and two Cubans into this team of plumbers, whose job was to try to plug the leaks, and that's how he got recruited to go into Watergate.
And then he then subsequently got arrested, put in prison, and so forth. My guest is Jim Hunt. We're talking about his book, Warrior, Frank Sturgis, the CIA's number one assassin spy who nearly killed Castro but was ambushed by Watergate. And Jim, to hear you tell that story, it almost seems like fiction. It almost seems unreal that one man would be involved in so many seminal events in the middle part of the 20th century. So my question to you is, how do you know that this was in fact real?
Well, I know because it was my uncle, Billy. I mean, these are things that he told me. These are things that came up during our research. I mean, there's no question in my mind that all of these things happened. And, you know, you're right. And that's one of the reasons that I wanted to write the book, because it struck me that, you know, here's my uncle, and he's in contact with all these world leaders and people who are involved in some, I mean, you know, if you catalog all the major historical events in the last part of the 20th century in the United States, there's Frank right in the middle of everything. You know, the Cold War, World War II, Israel, the Cuban Revolution, Bay of Pigs, Watergate, the Kennedy assassination, on and on and on. It's not fiction. It's all true.
Why is it that so few people know of Frank Sturgis here 40 years later, and more importantly, know the full breadth of the story of the man?
Well, number one, nobody's ever written his biography before we did. You know, number two, I think when it comes to Watergate especially, ours is the first book that takes a look at what happened at Watergate from the standpoint of the burglars. You know, all the attention has been on Nixon and his people and the cover-up and so forth and so on. So I think, you know, people, for some reason, the burglar story never got told. And after doing the research talking, we interviewed two of the living burglars at the time, Barker and Rolando Martinez. We also interviewed the attorney, Dan Schultz, who represented them through much of the Watergate criminal proceedings. We came to the conclusion that my uncle and the Cubans were actually innocent. And the reason I say that is they thought that they were doing a legitimate national security job. They were told by E. Howard Hunt and Barker that they were there to determine whether or not Fidel Castro was funneling money to the Democratic National Headquarters. They were also told that they were working for an agency that had jurisdiction over both the FBI and the CIA. And E. Howard Hunt's office was in the White House. So from the standpoint of my uncle and the three Cubans, there's no question they believed that they were doing something that was legitimate. And you say, well, how can breaking into somebody's headquarters be a legitimate thing? Well, that's what spies do, Billy. I mean, believe me, the Democratic National Headquarters at Watergate weren't the first, that wasn't the first break-in that my uncle had ever been involved in. I know that for a fact, too. I mean, there were other occasions, for instance, in Miami, where they were trying to ferret out some of the double agents that Fidel Castro had put into the Cuban community there. And there were plenty of times when they would break into their houses or their offices looking for, you know, information or proof that they were working for Fidel and not, you know, not against him.
My guest is Jim Hunt. He's author of the book Warrior, Frank Sturgis, the CIA's number one assassin spy who nearly killed Castro but was ambushed by Watergate. And I think in the subtitle of that book, Jim, is a real telling factor about what your uncle believed brought him down. He didn't believe it was the legal system that brought him down. He thought it was something more. Tell us, what did he believe that really brought him down, put him in prison?
You know, he thought that there was a struggle that was going on between President Nixon and people in the CIA. Nixon was trying to get his hands on something called the Bay of Pigs file. And interestingly, even though it was called the Bay of Pigs file, it apparently contained a lot of information about what the CIA knew or maybe didn't know about the Kennedy assassination. And it was my uncle's belief that they were basically set up because of a guy named James McCord. McCord was also a former, so he was a former CIA employee, CIA agent, who was brought in, and it was through McCord that they actually got caught. It's a kind of a long story, but there was, when they broke into Watergate the third time, when they were caught, they went over and they put tape around the doors to keep the locks open. And they got into the headquarters. After they got in, McCord told Martinez that he had forgotten some equipment that was across the street at the Howard Johnson's where they had their base of operations set up. And Martinez said, well, take the tape, you know, tape the door, go across the street, come back over, take the tape off, come upstairs. Well, when McCord got back, Martinez said, did you take the tape off the door? McCord said, yes, I did. Well, he didn't. He left the tape on. And the reason that's significant is this. The tape had been put on that afternoon when my uncle and Gonzalez, who was the locksmith, were the first people to go over that evening to try to break in. When he got there, he noticed that the tape was missing. The reason it was missing was that the security guard at the Watergate had seen it and took it off. And that's the reason that Martinez instructed McCord to pull the tape off again. He didn't want to leave it. Well, he didn't do that. He left the tape on, and sure enough, the same security guard came around later, saw the tape back on the door, and that's why he called the police, and that's how they got busted.
Wow, an incredible story. Now, in that answer, you talk about the CIA file and the connections with the JFK assassination. It's interesting because in 1978, Victor Marchetti published an article about the assassination of John F. Kennedy, where Marchetti argues that the House Select Committee on Assassinations obtained a 1966 CIA memo that revealed your uncle, Frank Sturgis, and others had been involved in the plot to kill Kennedy. True or false? Was he involved in the plot to kill Kennedy?
You know, he's my uncle, but I have to tell you, Billy, after doing the research, I can tell you this. He was not in Dallas that day. He was in Miami. I know that because I was living with him. He was in Miami that day. There's no question in my mind. But, you know, after doing the research, and one of the more significant things I found was that Lee Harvey Oswald's address book has my uncle's name in it.
Wow.
Okay? And it's actually it's his first name, which is his given name, which is Frank Fiorini. Frank didn't start using the name Sturgis until around the time of Watergate. But the name Fiorini appears in Lee Harvey Oswald's address book, and my uncle was involved in assassinations, for instance, the Trujillo assassination in Santo Domingo. He also was involved in about three or four or five different plots to assassinate Fidel Castro, so he's somebody who knew about assassinations. The other thing, of course, is that he had no love for President Kennedy after the Bay of Pigs, so there was motivation there. There was the skill level that he had. And even though he wasn't in Dallas pulling the trigger, you know, I firmly believe that he was somehow involved. There's no question in my mind about it.
Well, you'll have to read the book to get the conclusive proof. My guest is Jim Hunt, author of the book Warrior, Frank Sturgis, the CIA's number one assassin spy who nearly killed Castro but was ambushed by Watergate. In your mind, Jim, was Frank Sturgis a patriotic American, a soldier of fortune, or some sort of conservative zealot?
Tell you what, the first thing is the true story about Frank. Frank was unquestionably a very patriotic American. He thought that what he was doing was for the better of this country. He was somewhat conservative, but certainly not socially conservative, and he always wanted to help his fellow man. He was one of the first people to help the homeless down in Miami, for instance. He was not a soldier of fortune. He didn't like that term. He was not in it for the money. If Fidel Castro had not been a communist, Frank wouldn't have been involved in the lifelong battle against him. So, no, he was very patriotic, no question about it.
Wow. Now, if people want to learn more, Jim, about you, learn more about your book, where would you direct them to go on the Internet?
Well, the book is published by Forge, F-O-R-G-E, which is one of the Macmillan companies. If they go to the Macmillan website, it'll be there. And, of course, it's on Amazon and, you know, all the major Internet sites. It also should be available pretty much in bookstores throughout the country.
Including our own Bank of Books here in Ventura, 748 East Main Street and 2682 East Main Street. Jim, it has been a real delight. Thank you so much for being my special guest. We'll talk to you down the road.
Thank you very much, Billy, for having me on this morning.
All right, take care.